Blog Talk Radio.
You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our heads in worship as we praise your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we bless your holy name. You deserve,
you deserve the glory
and the honor.
You're a miracle working.
Your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. You're a miracle working God. Your name is You want to declare it. Your name is
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise your mighty name. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your anointing, Lord, in this night and this day, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus, Lord. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy, O Lord. You are a good God. You are a great God. You are awesome God, Lord. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, shalom. Shalom, my brother, my sister in Christ. Hallelujah. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your host, brother in Christ, Brother L.V. Zapata. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Sister Regina. Hallelujah, Brother Rob. Hallelujah, Sister Estrella, Brother Joseph. Shalom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. The Lord is good, and his love endures forever. He loves each one of us. He is for us, and he's not against us, for sure. We can always trust him. We can always believe him because he is good and his love endures forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:7, which will be the title of the program tonight, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. This is the will of God for you, for each and one of us, that we will walk by faith and not by sight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord's given me a wonderful revelation with this word here, which I'm going to share a little later. Thank you, Lord. He is good. He is awesome. He is preparing us for what is coming. According to him, what is coming is going to be part of the past very, very soon. When I say soon, it's how you can experience these things, my brother and my sister. Hallelujah. The great tsunami is at the door. And it's I call it great because it's going to come close to Asheville. We're about 250 miles away from the sea up in the mountain. And the water will reach some part here. Not so much, but it will reach up here. That's how large the tsunami is going to be, my brother and sister. And the Lord wanted me to come on. He spoke to me last night about me coming on and speaking about this. The Lord Jesus wanted me to speak about this tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I will share the experience he's given me. I will share what he showed me, how he allowed me to see it, experience it personally with my family, how we find ourselves in the days to come after this tsunami, practically a month after it happens. We were waiting, I believe, for the water to settle. That was my understanding. And we have closer to us about 10 miles away, called the French River. And that French River was not a river anymore. It was a lake. That tsunami turned that river into a lake that so much damaging is going to cause, is going to do in the days to come, as the Lord again had me experience this and spoke to me in my prayer to come on and share about this. So I have an obligation. I said, yes, Lord, I would. I mentioned that in Spanish earlier and now in English. My brother and sister, the confirmation from heaven has been going out on YouTube, Facebook, everywhere about this Eastern tsunami. God Almighty has been warning this nation to take heed to his message about this Eastern tsunami hitting the eastern part of the United States. I believe California will be first, then the rest will follow. But the confirmation is that this Eastern tsunami is very, very close. And I was able to experience it, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. So the warning is that, hallelujah, for the last day, Jesus said in Matthew 24, that there will be earthquakes in diverse places. And I believe this is one of the biblical earthquakes. A tsunami is an earthquake in the sea that will raise the water up and bring it into land and cause this massive destruction, my brother and sister, that are not welcomed by anybody. But it's coming. Habakkuk 2:4 said, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. In other words, if a person is prideful, it is not right. But the just shall live by his faith. Amen. In my dream, this not past nine, the Lord started giving me these different tests in my dream. It's like he took my spirit, put me in different tests, trial. I found them to be very difficult and hard. And when I kept thinking how difficult they were, and I wasn't sure if I could make it through, the Lord would say, by faith in me, you will. It's by faith, Elvie. So he would then put me in another test after he would speak with me. And he had me dealing with different things. The things that I was dealing with, the lack of food, the lack of water, have life now that most supermarkets were damaged and food was very difficult to find. Thinking about my family, I keep thinking about where we're going to have enough food to help our family. And all these different tests the Lord was putting me through, the Lord will keep reminding me that by faith, I will be able to, by faith in him, I will be able to make it through, that I will have to have faith in him. And he will speak it again to me. Every time I kept thinking, wow, this is hard. And I find myself in that testing, in that trial. And again, I will say, wow, this is very hard. And then in the dream, I found myself thinking, well, we don't have enough food. We don't have enough water, power outage. There was no power. And then so you have to create fire with wood up there. And then if you're in the middle of the winter, all wood is wet. So it's like finding yourself in the worst situation, my brother and sisters. You know, in one of them, I say this about the wood because it was like winter was about to start. And then we were going into the winter with power outages. No food in the supermarket. And then I'm thinking, wow, this is going to be hard. Because we're used to, like, if we run out of something, we go to the supermarket. Anything out of food, bread, egg, whatever it is, milk. But in this case, Shalom, sister, I was thinking, wow, okay, we don't have these things anymore. So you got to get creative. But creative with what? Because you have to have a planting a garden. And then I'm thinking, well, it's winter. Nobody has a garden up here in the north in the winter. It gets cold. It goes down to the 30s. And sometimes even lower than that. So that's what I kept thinking, that things were so difficult and so hard. And the Lord kept saying to me to have faith in him, to trust him. That's what he wanted for me to do, for us to do. And he did this several times to me. Put me in these different hard situations where you can't find anything. You can't go to the supermarket and buy food. You can't turn on the live power outages. And then everything is so difficult. And so you're thinking, what am I going to do now? And then you look back, if you save food, if you storage food, then I'm thinking, wow, this is, and then he will say it again, that I needed to have faith through it. Faith, because the one thing that people lose is faith, my brother and sister. That's why the disciple learned that we walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, you're not going to have everything you want in front of you ready for you to grab. You're going to have to trust the Lord to be your provider, your helper, your Jehovah Jireh. You're going to have to trust the Lord to provide your need, because he's going to get us through that by faith, my brother and sister. My Lord, my God, help us. Hallelujah. Matthew 13:21, yet he had no rooting himself, but endured for a while. For when the tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he loses faith. And so we need to have root in ourselves. And we can only be rooted in the word, in our relationship with Jesus as a Christian. We need to be rooted in the word and trust in the Lord and faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. The word of God is clear about that. It is impossible to please him without faith. And that's the kind of test he was giving me. Will you be able to pass this type of test with no power in your home? The food in your fridge will go bad. Cannot turn your stove on if it's electrical. It will have to be gas, but gas also uses electricity to turn certain things on. So it's going to be very difficult for the majority of us, because we are born and raised in a society. I was born in 72. And by 72, we already had electricity. We had these convenience things, even back in the island and the capital where I was born, Santiago, second city. We had electricity. We had the convenience that we needed. And so growing up, having all these convenience things, convenience store, how do you live without them? And those were the kind of tests the Lord was giving me. And he was telling me that by faith in him, he will get us through, is what he was teaching me. I will get you through it by faith in him. But the question is, do we really have that faith? Are we at that level of faith where we pray to wait on the Lord to eat daily? And we need to be honest. That's why in Matthew 13:21, you need to have... He not rooting himself. He was not rooted in the Lord. He was not rooted in faith. He was not rooted in the word. But endure for a while. It doesn't say how many years, a while. So when tribulation or persecution, these are two things that are coming to America. Great. And this is not the Great Tribulation. This is before. Tribulation is coming and persecution is coming to America. It's what God is saying. And when they arise, because they're going to arise, my brother and sister, they're going to arise. They are going to arise. They're close to come. My brother and sister, let me play a word from this woman. I won't play the whole word. I'm going to play you the beginning of this word because I want to play this later. So you can hear what is being said already amongst Christians.
Hey guys, it's Sandy. So I want to get on here, and this is one of those heads up videos or keep your eyes and ears open kind of videos. I think that this is not the time, as like in 2024, that you just stick your head in the sand and act like nothing is going on or nothing's going to happen. I think that would be not smart because right now, listen, there are reports out already because we're in September. November's not very far away in America. It means we've got the elections coming up. So right now there are reports already coming out that on the federal government, state, local, they are already preparing for massive civil unrest to happen in the U.S. around the election time. So they're already thinking it's going to happen. And, you know, anybody that does not have their head in the sand also thinks that something will happen also. And by something, does that mean that a few weeks ago, I shared a video about a big warning for America, and it was the security defense up in our federal government was saying Americans are clueless and almost everybody is unprepared for what could happen at any moment. And that video is about a cyber attack and how it could take down.
Okay. I'll play more on that and I probably give some links later on. But I want to stay in the topics of what could happen even by November. My brother and sisters, I don't know if this tsunami is going to happen by November. Most likely it will. When the Lord takes me into this tsunami, a month already passed by. And we have not gone out of the house for the whole month after the tsunami hit, because there was so much water everywhere. We're thinking it can be unsafe. We're not going to send our children to school because water is everywhere. Schools are flooded. And we don't know how many people have been injured by the water, because usually if the schools are closed, we do school online. But none of that was going on. Our children was home with us. We all stayed home. A month has passed by, and the water has practically settled by a month after. And that's when we decided to go out. And when we go out, I mentioned the French River, which is the closest river to us. We had to cross it to the other side to get to the supermarket. But the water, it was so much water. This river is about 50 to 75 feet wide or more, a little bit more. It's not that wide. But this time, after the tsunami, has become a lake. Huge, deeper. Very difficult to cross to the other side. So since the water had mostly settled, but the river had become a lake, we began to walk by the side of it, this lake now, and we noticed someone had built like a temporary bridge over it where you can walk over the bridge. I don't know how safe it was, but some people had done that to help other people to get to the other side. So we decided to walk over the temporary bridge that they put on. It was a long bridge made by, looks like it has steel cables and wood and a bunch of things that you can walk on it. And I thought it was pretty much safe for us to walk on it. And I said, hold on to the metal cable or the steel cable and walk to the other side. So that's what we were doing. And we crossed to the other side as we could, to be able to get to the supermarket. My son, Levi, Josh, all the family, we crossed to the other side, noticing the people on the supermarket, there was not much to buy there. The food was very limited of what you can purchase. So we were saying to each other, we have food practically because we have been saving food over the years. We went replacing it, replacing rice, replacing food that we know we will need a year or two of it. So we're thinking, well, okay, we need milk. We have no milk. You can't storage milk. It will go bad. So we're like, we haven't had milk for a month, around a month. So we said, let's get some milk. Let's get some other things there. And bring it back to the house as we can. The most important thing is to be safe, what I was telling the children. Things that we can cross over the bridge safe as possible. Maybe some bread, some milk, things like that. And things that, you know, we can go ahead and enjoy again because these things now. But when we went in the supermarket, they said, oh, you can only get one load of bread and like 1 gallon of milk. And we said, but no, that's all we allow you. And I believe they said a week. A week with 1 gallon of milk, that's not enough for 5 people. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is now because we're not getting any shipment coming in anymore. And when this is gone, it's gone. We're like, okay. And so what the Lord was allowing me to experience was what according to the Lord is about to happen is almost here. I did buy some powder milk. Some of it, we checked the day a couple of weeks ago, and it was over the day already. So we decided to throw it away. We had a really large amount of powder milk. It already went over the day, so that means I'm going to have to order more as soon as possible because we do not want to be surprised again. And that's one of the problems we were having, food expiring on us. We did not notice that the powder milk was expired. So like, oh, man. So we'll try to stay on top of these things as much as we can. But, you know, this is closer now than ever. Where the Lord had told us where we will be close to it so much. Then after that, it's going to be very difficult for people. And I believe the trial and test that he was putting me through is to get our mind into knowing that physically, things that we have available, they're not going to be available. And we need to be spiritual people where we pray, we fast, we commit ourselves to the Lord, and we pray for the things we need for God to, because God can supply these things to us supernaturally by faith. He supplied food for 5,000 people supernaturally. And he did that to teach us that we could depend on God the same. We can use faith. We can pray. And he can do this. He does work in a way where he tells you save up. Storage food. And he has done this for thousands of years. But also it's important that we need to understand he fed the children of Israel manna in the wilderness. That was supernatural. Breath, angelic bread. He can do the same with us. He has not changed. We have been the one who's been unfaithful, not believing completely, not trusting completely, doubting, unbelief. So he wants to teach us to overcome these things. And we'll have plenty of time, we say, to be tested this way in the days to come because once the tsunami hits, you know, some people wonder if there's going to be an election. If the tsunami here, there may not be any. Because remember what I shared that God showed me a few months ago, there's not going to be any more president in the United States. Governors will govern their own state. Okay? That's what he showed me. So the meaning of we think about this election in November. If it happens, it happens. But the fact of the matter is, God don't want this to be any more out of Washington, D.C. like it was before. This tsunami will put an end to Washington, D.C. It's going to cover Washington with over 100 foot of water, seawater. And it's going to remain there. When this water go over Washington, Maryland, all that area, That water will settle there for weeks. Any bunker, anything electrical will be damaged completely. Okay? The White House completely will be underwater. So, you know, we kept thinking about election. You know what? All this is going to be gone soon. He's been showing these things for years before it comes and talking to his people about his prophet, the servant, the prophet. He doesn't do anything without first revealing it to his servant, the prophet, his word says. And that's what he's doing. He's revealing it to us. He's showing it to us. The Lord says to me last night, I want you to talk about this tomorrow on the program, both programs. And I said, yes, I will. Close. It's going to happen. Whether people are ready or not, the warning is to prepare. Remember that we don't need to be afraid of anything in the Lord. God is in control. Whatever he allowed, whether we're, if we are saved, saved by grace, by the Lord Jesus Christ. If we die, we're with him. Us and from the body's presence with the Lord. So it doesn't matter whether we die by the judgment. We will be with the Lord. Some of us, like me, we've been chosen for to do more work for the Lord, like being part of the revival. He said, I have chosen you for this. So it's people like me he has sent to the mountain. Few of us have listened to him, have come out to the mountain because he has greater plan with us. He also knew who would not listen, who would not go to the mountain, who will stay where they are because of doubt and unbelief. But if you're saved by grace, you don't need to be afraid. Pray for him to save you, to save your soul. Persevere till the end. We'll see you in heaven. We'll see you in heaven. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Trust the Lord. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He has not, my brother and sister. And that's what he wants us to trust him through everything. You know, one thing the Lord showed me is the Father will bring his children up here in the right timing. He's able to and he's going to. Those that he wants to bring up here. He will do that. When he showed me that a few months back, I was like, okay, awesome. Hallelujah. He has a plan. Father is going to execute his plan. So he wants us to believe him through our Lord Jesus Christ and know that he's going to bring us to. But this tsunami coming to the eastern part of the United States, it's practically history. As the Lord showed me a couple of days ago, this is practically history. He showed it to me a month after it passed. Life has completely changed. What people are thinking now, after this tsunami hit, they will not be thinking the same anymore. Their mentality is going to change. One is because the Lord is having people like me come on the program on the radio and talk about it. Tell the people that this is coming. Get them prepared. Get them ready. So when it happens, they know the Lord has spoken already that this was coming. And then life in this country will completely change. Not going to be the same. As God showed me, the United States will be governed by state governors. Each governor are going to govern their state. No more will one man from Washington, D.C. govern this country. God doesn't want that anymore. It's God's giving America a second chance in that regard. And he's preparing everything before the Great Tribulation begins. Because after the Great Tribulation begins, that's it. In the Great Tribulation, some people lately have had dreams about the Great Tribulation. And they felt in the spirit how close it is. Very, very, very close. So the United States will be set in position to go into it because it's going to be attacked through every direction. When he showed me how America is going to be attacked in the days to come from Russia, China, and them, they're going to be attacked by every direction. Iran is going to participate, another country, and they're more ready for that than fighting Israel, literally. They don't see much Israel as a threat, as a lot of people think. There's a lot of this distracting information out there to keep people's mind busy. But everything is going to make sense when the judgment begins. People will pick up their Bible one more time and read it again and cry out to God and ask God to forgive them. There will be sincere prayers. The Lord showed me years ago that when this judgment begins, people will turn back to sincere repenting. The judgment is what the Lord said, show me he's going to use to bring people back to sincere repenting. Right now, there's not much sincere repenting going on. Very limited, very, very limited, especially in America. But the Lord showed me that when this judgment go off, when this judgment happens, this country from Maine to California, people will get on their knees again. Now the question is with people, how should I pray? Should I pray on my knees, Brother Ovi? How should I pray? The Lord showed me that when this judgment hit America, people will go on their knees again and humble themselves before God and pray. I saw people in front of their houses on the streets of America on their knees praying, crying out to God. Everywhere. Massachusetts, everywhere, New York, New Jersey, Texas, across this country, there will be an outcry like America had not seen for over 100 years. It's coming back again. He's going to hit them where their knees are going to turn to him, bow to him. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord for the glory of God. That's in his word. And this judgment is going to bring America back on their knees. And people not anymore will ask, how should I pray? How should I humble myself? When the Lord showed me this, I was crying. I've seen so many people crying back to God. Just there in front of their house. Dropped themselves on their knees crying out to God. I saw men, painters painting houses, dropping the paintbrush, the roller, on the, just putting it down and dropping underneath, crying out to God. People were doing gardening. They stopped. They dropped underneath. Whatever they were doing, the workers from everywhere, dropping underneath and crying out to God after their judgment came. Because there are going to be so many lives lost. No more nation capital. Everything they love, they're going to lose. They're going to lose the stock market that they love so much that is demonic right now. That is going to be lost in one single day. The stock market in New York City, California, Chicago, they're going to lose it so fast, faster than they're going to get up the next day, and it was lost last night. And it's going to be under so much water that no man can swim down to try to get anything. The gold they have in those buildings, the money they have printed, it's all going to be surrounded by sharks and different fish. So hungry that if you try to get down, they will eat you, my brother and sister. The judgment coming up, it will be so severe. Every boat around this nation is going to be flipped upside down. So no one can say, let me go onto my million-dollar jet and cross. None of that. They're going to be flipped. Every expensive Tesla, expensive car are going to be over under 100 feet of water with no vehicle to pull them up anymore. And by the time the water goes down of the sea, they will be completely damaged, my brothers and sisters. All this is going to humble this nation, as the Lord showed me. People will get on their knees and cry out to God and say, oh, God, why have we been so blind? Why did we did not listen to your prophet when they warned us, when they told us to repent, when they told us to turn to you? Right now, when you talk about these things, people want to contact Brother Elby. Let me insult Brother Elby to be quiet about these things. That God cannot do this. They're going to see with their own eyes what God has said through our lips that he's going to do. Many people are making plans for their lives. They're going to be a chef, career chef, or a lawyer, or a doctor, or different things. This time, I tell you, they are not going to accomplish that. There is no time for that anymore. The time that is left, as God is letting us know, is to repent, is to turn away from our wicked way, to turn from our evil, to turn from our lust to him, and humble ourselves, my brothers and sisters. Our electrical system in America is going down, and it's going down, down, down for a long, long time, my brothers and sisters. Some state will tell you that it's going to take so much money to repair the electrical system that it's not worth it to do it. It's not worth to spend that money. It's like taking food from your table, from taking bread from your home to repair the electrical system. Are you going to donate your food money, your food, to have enough money to repair the electrical system? There will be no more IRS, God show me. He's going to do away with the IRS. Most every single building of the IRS will be gone, my brothers and sisters. Radical change are coming. And a lot of people in this radical change system are not going to feel happy. They will be crying. They will be complaining. They're going to be blaming God. My brother and sister, I want you to meditate on something. God tell Moses that he sent him down to Egypt to bring the children of Israel into a land that flowed with milk and honey. They're 10 to 20 years in the wilderness. And by this time, the children of Israel are angry at Moses and Aaron and Mary and complaining and murmuring that they have nothing to eat and nothing to drink. My brother and sister, it was only a test of life from God over their lives, a temporary test where we are supposed to humble ourselves, cry out to him, and say, God, help me through this. The message of childish, of please repent, are gone. The message of, well, you have a little time to repent, are gone. Very soon, it might be 2025, we may find ourselves in a different time, different life, different everything. That everything we hold abundant, it will be gone. And people will be asking themselves, will we ever go back to where we was in 2024 or 2023? And the answer may be never. Will this nation see the prosperity they saw? Will this nation enjoy the prosperity they enjoy? Because this is the end. As God has said through his prophet. You read Matthew 24, where he said, nation will rise against nations. There will be earthquake in the right places. We are at that time. We have seen the nation rising in the nations. We've seen how angry China and Russia are at this country. And most other countries are joining. Everything is in place. For the end, the only that there are people not ready spiritually for this, to see this end come through, to see the end through. Their lives are not ready. Because if you want to be spared and go through the worst with Jesus and not feel the worst, not experience what other people are going to experience, you must be now and daily repenting, crying out to him for you and your family. And say, Lord, help me through. The Lord showed me. He showed me. He allowed me to experience that very, very soon, my family and I are going to be tested like we've never been tested. No supermarket, no food, no electricity, no water. And he showed me that the time of hard testing is at hand. It's here. And that this is going to begin literally any day now. And in order for us to make it through, Jesus showed me and said to me, we must walk by faith and not by sight. By walking by faith, he will bring us through it. And now there will come the day, as the supermarket was saying when I went in this revelation, we don't know how we're going to get food again. This is it. What we have today, it is air. And I started seeing the shelf becoming empty right in front of me. You know, you can go to Walmart now, you can go to Target, you can go to any other big store and buy food. And those days, they're going to be empty. No way to bring it. Most of the food bank are going to be underwater, 100 foot of water. Food are going to be damaged. Food planting in those fields where plenty of food is being grown right now are going to be underwater too, especially in California and the different states. And so since all those fields where food are being grown for the country are all underwater, that's it. That will be it. These people need to wait, if they're still alive, a lot of them, until the water will settle back and work on the land for weeks, maybe months, to begin to plant. I get remembering what Jesus said in Matthew 24. Pray that your flea will not be in winter. As the Lord keeps saying how close this is, and we are in September approaching the winter, I keep thinking, wow, we're so close. What, 3 months, 4 months away from the winter? He's saying this, he's showing us and telling us this is so close now. If this mess began in the winter, wow, wow, wow. It's going to be extremely difficult. And this is part of what he was showing me. You're going to have to make it through by faith, LV. By faith will you be able, by faith in me, Jesus said, in him, you will be able to make it through. And believe that I will be your provider. Believe that I will provide you by faith. That's how you're going to make it through. Because I found myself in a difficult time. Not thinking, let me go to the store, because the store, there was nothing there. Praying like we never have. It's how we're going to make it through, my brother and sister. It's how the Lord wants us to trust him. Because nothing we're going to be able to do anymore once this eastern tsunami hits. It's going to be a big change for our nations, our country, our lives are going to completely change. My God, help us through it. Help us, hallelujah. Luke 17:6, and the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say to the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. It made no sense to throw anything in the sea. Okay? But see is what people are going to see. Sea water is what people are going to see very soon over the land, over the country. My brothers and sisters. And how we're going to make it? My brothers and sisters, by faith. By the same faith that this can be thrown into the sea. And if it's thrown into the sea, it's going to be under the sea. We're going to make it through, my brothers and sisters. There's no way. Everything is in the Word and it's so significant. Hallelujah. Act 3:16, in his name, through by faith in him, his name, have made this man strong, whom you see now, yea, the faith which is by him has been given him this perfect soundness in the presence of all. It's only by faith in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord, and the Lord, that we're going to make it through this difficult time coming up in America. I heard a word last week to Mexico. God is giving Mexico a strong word of destruction coming, my brother and sister. And I believe that this tsunami that is about to hit the eastern part of the United States, it will also hit Mexico very hard. Many lives are going to be lost in Mexico, as it will be in America, my brothers and sisters. The first time the Lord showed me this, I was up in Massachusetts. And I saw the outcry of the people who were alive, who remained through this eastern tsunami when it hit America. People, the outcry was from Maine to California. People were crying all over the news, whatever news was available, radio. Of all the people they lost, it's going to be large, large number. Because if you look at the most of the bigger city that has been built in America, they're almost close to the sea. New York City, look how close it is, Atlanta to the sea, Orlando, Miami. Look at all these major cities where millions of people are right now, so close to the sea. And over 100 feet high tsunami hitting these places. How can the city escape? Or how can the people in the city escape? They won't. They just won't. And that's about the reality. Not only is the sea bringing a lot of water, it also brings a lot of alligators and sharks into this different area of all these people flowing and swimming and so much more. And these fish, they want to eat meat constantly. They will attack those people right away. People talk about the island between Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic that where there's so many sharks that had eaten so many people, thousands of people. My brother insisted. I heard a testimony from a guy who went through that. And he says that right by the boat as they were coming, he says it must have been about 300, 400, 500 sharks swimming. And they have a tactic that are move the shark away from the boat. And it is you bring a lot of meat in the boat and you throw it as you're going by, you keep throwing the meat, the bloody meat to the side, and then the shark will follow the meat, the smell of the blood. And that's how you keep the shark from coming against the boat. If you're lucky, some people have tried that in the past, he was telling me, and the shark goes under the boat and flips the boat, makes the boat turn, my brother and sister. And that's how they get to the people also. So the shark has become smart. We're talking about the same situation of these places here underwater and all these sharks swimming around where people are swimming. They're going to attack people quickly. My brother and sister, it's a very difficult situation where a lot of people find themselves. But a lot of people are so caught up in their lives, in their unbelief, in their doubt, that they're not thinking logically. Because if think about it, if you find yourself in the middle of the ocean and you're swimming for your life and you're surrounded by sharks, do you think that's the right moment for you to doubt, unbelieve your situation, question your situation? No, it is the time for you to act. It is the time for you to come up with an idea how to survive that situation. A piece of wood flooring, you can climb it. You know, anything flowing in the water can be a weapon against a shark in your hand. And you start thinking survival more than like, I don't think there's a lot of shark here. I don't believe there's a lot of shark here. I don't believe there's a lot of alligator here. I don't, you know, doubting, unbelief is going to get you in a lot of trouble because shark is not going to let you know when he's ready to attack you. He's just going to come by and get your leg, bite your leg, bite your arm. And so if people are right now in a situation of pride or unbelief that is very, very dangerous. I shared a testimony early about this man up in North Massachusetts. I approached him to try to tell him to repent and seek the Lord. He let me know he didn't want to hear it. And other people have. Someone says to me, I don't know why you're wasting your time with him. We tried with him for many years and nothing. A pedophile. He was more going around looking at children, this and that. He was in and out of jail. I would go and minister in the prison. I would see him there. See him in the street. I would not trust him around anyone, basically. Well, when the Lord took me to hell, I saw him walking in hell. The same man, the people tried to evangelize him over the years, my brother and sister, that we tried to lead to the Lord, who did not want to listen to us, now was in hell. He is very sorry right now. He's very sorry he didn't listen. He's very sorry for what he did. But guess what? It's too late. It's too late. And a lot of people that are not listening to us right now, that are getting mad at us in our message, very soon, it's too late. We won't be able to do anything for them. God is using us right now to try to get a hold of them to repent. But they are rejecting us. They're rejecting the Lord's message through our lips. And as they are rejecting the word, Jesus is the word. The only thing that can save people is Jesus, the word. They are rejecting it. And like this man, who I try to evangelize and many other people over the years, refuse to listen to a pedophile, were more into his sin than his own salvation. They will put him in prison and he will come out 2 or 3 years later. Now he cannot get out where he is now for all eternity in the worst place of hell, where the air is unbreathable, the dryness is unbearable. The darkness is terrible because you can see nothing. It practically, I could not see a single human being there unless the Lord lit up the whole place for me with his light. I could not see anything. And when I saw there were people walking in front of me, before the Lord lit it up, there were people walking in front of me. And after he lit it up, then I noticed there were people walking in front of me. Like, whoa, I could not see them before. The Lord had to lit up the whole place for me to see. And I began to see endless, as the light went on and on, endless amount of people there. Thousands upon thousands of people there who've been there for years and some not a few years only. And some of them I try to evangelize in the prison, in the streets, in many places, who did not listen. Some that listened got saved, like some when the Lord took me to heaven, who came and gave me a hug and said, thank you, Brother Elvie, for helping us come to this place. I share about this man, this young man, whose mother was a witch and father was the same. And he thought he was evil. He was bad. because of how he was presented to the devil as a child. That he was supposed to become a warlock itself. And I began to share the word. God allowed me to share the word with him. And I said, listen, it's not the will of God that any man will perish, Jesus said. So he doesn't want you to perish. He wants you to receive him into your life. Repent of your sin. You will give an account to God for your own sin, I said to him. Not your mother for you, not your father for you, but you for yourself. You need to repent, I said to him, for your own sin. Whatever decision your mother made, she will have to give an account. Whatever decision your father made, he will have to give an account, but you will have to give an account to God for your own sin. God will speak to you directly. You may not see your mother and father beside you when God himself is speaking with you, calling you to give an account for your own sin. This is why you have to repent and think about your own salvation, your own decision that you make. As I was speaking to him this way, I saw tears on his eyes. God was speaking to his life. I was fasting that day while I was working. And the Lord was letting me know, speak. I said, Lord, I got this work to do, Lord. I got to solder these wires to these things that my boss told me to do. And the Lord says, speak to him. Speak to him. I say, yes, Lord. I put down the welder I had in my hand, and I went. I said, I got to speak with you. Well, our break is coming up right now, he says. Let's go ahead, and let's stay here back in the warehouse. The boss won't mind if we stay here talking. We're on our break, 15-minute break. And there I began to speak with him, and I began to let him know, my brother and sister, hallelujah, that he was his own man before God, that God made him in the womb of his mother, that he was not born by the will of his mother, by the will of his father, but by the will of God. That he needed to repent like everybody else, like me and anybody else, of our sin and trespasses before God. And when the Lord took me to heaven the other day, the Lord wanted to give me this surprise. Oh, thank you, Lord. He knows what we need to encourage us in the right time and right moment. I was questioning that if what I'm doing is worth it, oh Lord. And I said, Lord, all these people that you have me speak to in the past, Lord, what did I accomplish? I started thinking about my life and my ministry. Then the Lord, when they surprised me and took me to heaven, took me to this place in heaven. And I saw him coming to me. Oh, when I saw him, I began to cry. Oh, Lord, you are so good, I said. Oh, Lord, is that him, oh, Lord? He was coming. LV, LV, my brother. Oh, LV, I'm so thankful that you spoke to me the word of God. Look. He had died with COVID. He died with COVID. And another one that I ministered to at the same company I was working for, he also died with COVID. There he was too. And he came, LV, remember me? I said, yes. Come here, my brother. Give me a hug. And they both came and gave me a hug, and I cried. Oh, I cried. They knew why I was crying. And the Lord wanted to help me cry. Then came another one. And then came another one that I ministered to. Remember me, Brother Elvie? I said, yes, oh, you're here. You made it, brother. Yes, yes, the Lord's mercy. Oh, most of all these people died with COVID. Thank you, Lord, for COVID. People are so mad at God for COVID. Thank you, God, for COVID, because these men are in heaven. And, oh, what the devil meant for evil, God turned it around for good. My brother and sister, and he came, and they came. And in that field where I was standing, more than 100 men came, and 100 more. and people that I minister in the hospital before they die, people that I minister in the street and the park, my brother and sister, people that the Lord sent me to and said, minister to this person, and I will go. Hallelujah. There they were, saved by grace through faith in Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Brother, I made it. The Lord did it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We know so little. And then the Lord reminded me what obedient and why obedient is so better than sacrifice. Because you see these things that are little. He quickens you and say, go speak to this person. And you can be eating something, you can be doing something, and the Lord say, no, stop that and go do this for me. And you do that. And you go minister to this person. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And look what the Lord can do. Look what the Lord can do with a ministering of 15 minutes a day for someone's soul to be saved. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. When the time comes, the Lord said, it's over for you. I remember, after doing all that ministry to all these different people, I ministered to whoever I could there, the word. They came to the Lord. The Lord says, I'm taking you out of there now. When the work was finished, you know, for years, I was like, Lord, why are you having me work through a temporary agency? I was working through this temporary agency, and the Lord would send me to this different company, and they have me minister to these different people. And I'm like, Lord, why? But the Lord, the only thing he let me know is for me to trust him. Trust him. And sometimes I will be busy doing my work, focus on my work, and then he will bring someone that he wanted me to speak to. And sometimes in the moment that he will bring someone for me to speak to, for him to give me a word for that person, he will let me know at the moment, look, I want you to minister to this person my word, my plan of salvation, at that very second there. Hallelujah. And I will do it. Praise the Lord. He wants us to be obedient. The humble obedient, where we don't question when he tells you, speak to this person. Lead this person to me. Give this person my plan of salvation. Hallelujah. Put down your sandwich and minister to this person. Hallelujah. Put down your food. No more. You ate yesterday. Put it down. Hallelujah. Minister to this. Lord, but I only have half an hour of lunch. Forget about lunch. Minister to this person. Now, is that biblical, Brother Elvie? Jesus, the disciple wanted to eat. They had that ministry all day long. And they came to a place in Samaria. And there was a Samaritan woman by the well. He allowed his disciple to go down to the town to buy food. They were so concerned with food. I imagine Peter, I got to eat my fish. You know, I like it like this. And but Jesus allowed them to go. Go ahead. Go buy your food. Go ahead and I got another food here that I do the will of my Father. And he was ministering to that Samaritan woman, led her to salvation. And by the time they came, Lord, the food, Jesus said he already had eaten his food because his food was to do the will of the Father. That's a food that many Christians are missing in their life. They're full of their earthly food and not the heavenly one to do the will of the Father. And that's food the Lord had let me taste here and there a few, a little. My brother and sister, we need to learn that eating is not more important than the gospel. That sometimes we need to stop eating. That's why we are trained to stop eating through fasting. Fasting. We mentioned 21 days in December 1st to December 21st. A lot of people, they start thinking about their favorite food right away. I don't know, Brother Elvie, if I can lay down my favorite food to join you in the fasting. I'll let you know. They're thinking about that. They don't understand the food that God wants to give them in those 21 days with God. Jesus said that man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of God's mouth. My brother and sister, that's the food I'm inviting you to enjoy for 21 days. The bread that comes down from heaven is our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to taste the greater bread, the greater food into your body. Go into the 21 days. Join us and eat the bread that came down from heaven that will nourish your body, nourish your health. You're not going to die. Some of you say, but brother, I got to take medication every day. If I go into the fasting, I won't be able to take my medication. There's a better medication than your medication, and it's our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have not tasted the greatest pills, the greater medication, you are missing so much. Jesus is our medication. He is our bread, and he is our water when we need it. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Remember the time when Jesus a few months ago brought me to hell? And how many believe that he is the water that can make it come out of the rock? I was standing in hell. The demon was standing far away looking. And then the Lord had me walk to the rock and speak to the rock for water. And that rock there is our Lord. And water started pouring out of that rock in hell where there is no water. My brothers and sisters, the demon, woo, they were offended. That's the last thing they want. They don't want people down there who are in the fire, who are in punishment to drink none of that water. My brother insisted. But what the Lord wanted to show me is he is in control in heaven and earth. And God is in control of hell too. God is in control of hell. He can make anything happen here and anywhere. The devil is not in control. Jesus has the key of Hades. My brother insisted. The Bible says in Revelation. Hallelujah. So he can make anything happen. Those people are in torment there. Yes, but the Lord can do anything. My brother insisted. And he did that. And I was stunned like, not in hell. In earth, that would be great on earth. But why in hell? It's an example of faith in him. That if we believe him, if we trust him, he will do anything anywhere for us. Even in the place that we think that, oh, he's not going to do it here. Oh, we're so wrong. We have so much to learn. We're so young. We're so little. We're so limited. But to him, there's no limitation. He is the greater of all, and he is the older of all. He has no limitation. Hallelujah. Time is not a limitation for him. The devil, the fallen angels, they're not a limitation for him either. What limits God? Nothing limits God. With God, Jesus said to his disciple, all things are possible. Remember when Father God spoke to me, one of those companies that I was working, if you believe, my son, that I can make everything possible in your life, I will make everything possible in your life, because with me, he says, all things are possible. Spoke to me with an authoritarian power word, anointing power word. God spoke to me, my Lord, my God, that I cried and enjoyed that powerful word, powerful voice at work, but God spoke to me. If you believe that everything is possible, I will make. If you believe I can make everything possible, I will make everything possible in your life, he says. My brother and sister, he's been preparing us for the impossible, to live in the impossible, to see the impossible come to pass right by in front of us. My brother insisted. And in the days to come, we're going to be tested and tested. We said we're already being tested. Some people are laying back in a sofa eating a sandwich. Is that being tested right now? No. Some people are sitting down with a bag of popcorn, laying down listening. They're being tested right now. Some people are enjoying 2 and 3 houses, 2 and 3 carts. in a Lush bank account. They're laying back right now on one of the leather sofa. Are they being tested? They don't know what testing is yet. Testing is coming, my brother and sister. Like many people don't think so. Hallelujah. Days are coming when we're going to get up and wonder how we're going to eat. But at the same time, we'll say the Lord will provide this day what we're going to eat. And we will have that level of faith in him. And he, like he multiplied the bread and fish, will multiply any little thing we have in our lives for thousands of people, thousands of us. My brother and sister, I said, Lord, you're calling me for this community of 5,000 plus people. How is this going to come about? The Lord says, don't worry, my son. God will take care of this. Just trust me. God will do, this is God's plan, he says. Not man's plan, but God's plan. He will bring it about. He says, doesn't want me to worry. So I tell the people now, brother, what happened with the community? Oh, I'm not worried about it. The Lord told me not to. He said, this is God's community. He's going to bring it about. He's going to make it happen. So what? He doesn't want me to worry. He had rebuked me for worrying about anything. He's in control. He's always making things happen in heaven. And his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, he says. Okay? And it's going to come to pass. He's going to make it come to pass because he has all power. Can the mountain say no to him? Can the wind say no to Jesus? Can the sea say no to him? If he says go over the city, will the sea stand there and say, no, I will not? Oh, even when the sea rises, he spoke to the sea and said, be calm. Even when the wind rises and starts to destroy the boat where they stand, he says, be calm. And the wind obey him. And the sea obey him. The same as he ordered them to go over the land. They will also obey his word. Oh, he's in control, my brother and sister. He's in control. And you will see his power. You will stand before him. And you will see his power. I was saying yesterday, I was speaking to someone yesterday. And I said, look. None of us is going to last 1,000 years. Out of the last 936 years, none of you and I standing here, listening here, are going to last 1,000 years. Our time on this earth is very short. A few months I was in heaven, and just as I was speaking to God, I was speaking to the angels, I said, when am I supposed to come to heaven in my earthly years? And it was revealed to me that in the book of heaven about my life, I'm supposed to come to heaven when I'm 72 years of age. That's what is in the book of God in heaven about my life. Like, wow, 72. Right now I'm 52, going to 53. I have 19 years left on this earth until I go to heaven. The last time I was in heaven that Jesus said he wanted me to stay in heaven, I begged Jesus. And I said, Lord, COVID-19 has begun to spread over the earth in 2020. All these things began to happen. And I said, Lord, how many people of your servants are preaching against this or about this? And I'm informing people. Even about the Bicene that was being mentioned, the Bicene that they were coming together, that is so wicked and so evil, I began to preach about it in 2020, pointing to that Bicene. I had spoken to it about earlier, but 2020, those that have been listening know that I was talking about the Bicene. And the Lord says, the Lord cannot mention many that were preaching. I said, Lord, please, I would like to go back. I beg the Lord. So I will be there for my children and preach about these things. And the Lord said, you may go back. But the Lord has said something. Go, my son. Just stay and rest, he says. Why don't you just stay and rest, he says, to me. I'm giving you the opportunity to stay and rest in heaven. You know, you don't have to go back. But I began to beg him to please let me go back. You see how he had control there in life? My brother insisted. I could have stayed in that wonderful place with him. I actually, when I went through the gate, I walked and I began to walk. And I knew that if I were gone up to where his throne is, that would be the end of my walk. I would have been there, maybe sat by the wedding celebration and rest and seeing the preparation for it. And like I saw Sister Chu Thomas sitting in one of the table there. She was drinking something. Looks like, I don't know if it was a lemonade or something, with ice in it. And she looked no more than 20. When she died, she was in her 60s. And I greeted her. She greeted me. She looked very young, like everybody else in heaven. And Brother Elvie, Sister Chu, so glad to see you, sister. She was there seeing the preparation, sitting down at the table. I could have been doing the same, but it was not my choice to want it to stay, because I know the Lord had put it in my heart also. It's his plan, his will. So again, I'm here back again to finish this race. I pray that I can finish this race. Because some people say, you're putting yourself in more temptation. What happens if you fall? When trusting the Lord, the Bible says that if we fall for the Lord. As long as we cry out to him and humble ourselves, I pray that the Lord, I repent pride, doubt, and unbelief. I believe these things are worse than Satan in our lives. My brother and sister, they're worse. The other nine, yesterday, nine, the devil came to attack me in my sleep. And I said, Satan, what are you doing? He was ready to launch himself on me. But I noticed the Lord has given me this anointing. I've been praying. Isaiah, the joke, the anointing breaks the joke, I've been praying. The Lord was giving me that I can pray for that. That will pray the power of the evil one. As Satan tried to do something, the anointing that the Lord had put on me, and he stopped. And he tried again. No, the anointing was breaking his joke that he would try to put on my life. And to me, that revelation that the Lord was showing me is that as long as we stay close to him, even when the devil thinks he can get us, he will try because he's not going to stop. He tempted Jesus after 40 days, 40 nights of fasting, and left the Lord after the Lord rebuked him to come back again later. He came back again later. He came back. He used Judah. He used Peter. Okay? He will do the same with us. But that anointing, we need to pray for the Lord to give us. It's powerful. It breaks the jokes of the enemy. And it gives you, it keeps you close to the Lord and then victory. We pray. We want to be close to the Lord, brothers and sisters. And these days that we're in, my wife been wondering about how close we are to all this. She's been hearing me month after month talking about this. God gave her a dream this week. And I believe this dream is how close the Great Tribulation is. In her dream, her and I were in the dream. And I was holding on to her hand. And she says the whole place here was full of zombies. I believe I told her that this second virus, including the first virus, COVID-19, the ingredient put in this virus, all these people they bury that supposedly died with COVID, and all these people that are going to die with the second virus, the virus is going to have them awaken later on. She says that she saw endless amount of people of zombie. And she was telling me, like, some of the movie, the one that Brad Pitt made, my brother and sisters, that it was just like that. It was not like these slow zombie walking around yet, because I saw that later in the Great Tribulation. These zombies are going to be like the one in the Brad Pitt movie. If you have not seen it, please look it up. I forget the name of the movie. I haven't seen it for a while. Maybe it's a time. It's time to watch it again. But these zombies were very fast, she says. And they grabbed her arm. I was holding her in one arm. The other arm, the zombie was tearing the flesh from her arm. World War C, thank you, sister. The zombie was tearing the flesh from her second arm that she was pulling away from them. That's how hungry and fast. She said she looked at them, and they were very fast, just like in World War C movie. Just like that. It is not slow like you see in another movie. No. They're very hungry for meat. Very, very hungry. And she said, she was telling me, it was like the whole population who got the vaccine turned into zombie. And she said it was the whole population. She said she never seen so many thousands and millions of people turn into zombie. It was like everyone was turning into zombie. Remember the Lord showed me last year in the beginning that when the Great Tribulation begins, I saw body arising from the tomb. People that had been buried with COVID were arising back from the tomb. And that was shocking to me because I had never heard anyone mentioning this. Years ago, someone asked me, said, Brother Elvie, how is it? Because sister kept having these dreams. And they came and visited. I said, Brother Elvie, how is it that my sister and I, including my mom and father, has been having these dreams of zombie rising from the tomb? What do you believe, Brother Elvie, that is going to cause this to happen? I said, this was before COVID. I said, they are going to inject something into people that is going to change like the DNA, their body. And they're going to end up turning into zombie. This is why it surprises people when this began in 2019, 2020, because I have mentioned they have visited me back in 2017, 2018. And that's what I was telling them in our table, in our house, that I believe they were going to inject something into people's body. You know, then I share with some of the people the what God has given us years ago, that they were going to come with a virus and then with a vaccine. Supposedly that will be the cure of the virus, but the vaccine will be worse than the virus. And it has been exactly how we've been talking about this. And then she was giving me an idea what other people were saying, that there was something else, a chemical that they were going to come out with. And I said, no, this is something about changing them, their DNA, and turning them into something else. And so I believe, I was telling my wife this week, that yesterday, that what is coming with the second virus and all this, so many million will be buried, but they already have the vaccine in their body. So they will rise again. Because she could not explain how can so many millions of people be turning into zombies. And they were not slow. They were very fast, she says. Just like the World War C movie. Just like that. You know, that's how she saw it this week. And she was shaking. She was shaking to the core. Oh, I can feel, it's like I can feel the arm tearing my flesh. When she got up, oh, man, this is so real. And I said, because, see, God let you experience. And we've been talking about this on the Lloyd Tower. I have a message about zombie a few weeks ago. Okay? Deadliest pandemic zombie about to start. I mentioned that, what about a month ago, 3 weeks ago? It's still here, saved in my archive here. Marvel and sister, we've been talking about these things. And look at the dreams she had. So that, to her, it had been clarified that these things are about to come, about to start. And the populations are like blind men and women taking these boosters, taking these vaccines, listening to the government. They are being deceived. As Jesus warned us, be ye not deceived. Well, they're doing the opposite of what Jesus said. They're being deceived. They're running to these vaccines and this protection. And then there's a second vaccine coming for the second virus that they're getting ready. But first, the virus needs to be out. The panic needs to be created. See, the devil, his best work or evil work is through panic and fear. So once the second virus begins, there's going to be such a panic and fear. So when they present the wickedest vaccine, people will say, yes, yes, yes. And that's the one they want to give the people. Okay, like someone said, they're not too satisfied with the first vaccine. You know, there they got a lot of people where they wanted them to be. Now they want more control because it's all about control and money. Okay? It's all about control and money. They want more money. They want more control. They're getting everyone where they want them to be now. Now that they gave them the first, they're ready to give them the second. But all this, my brother and sister, has an end. The great tribulation. God's going to deal with people in the great tribulation in a way that humanity do not expect. A lot of people will say God has left us and forsaken them. But I mentioned something to someone, and I said, have you read? I keep asking people this question. I'm going to ask you the same question tonight. Have you read the book of Lamentation? Have you? Have any of you read the book of Lamentation? In order for you to understand what is about to happen, we might start this book on Tuesday night this week. We're going to be talking about prophetic word, prophetic things in the Bible. But we're going to start going into the book of Lamentation this week. Now that the Lord is talking about that this judgment is so close and that very soon it will be history, okay? We need to understand why did the people ended up in Lamentation in the worst part of their lives, in Babylon. America is Babylon. So in order to understand the system of Babylon, how did the people ended up in Babylon? How do we still in Babylon? How do the churches still in Babylon? My brother and sister, because of sin and disobedience. Lamentation 1, how does this city stay solitary? That was full of people. She had become a widow. She that was great among the nations and prisons among the province, how she had become tributary. My brother and sister, I'm going to look up some of these words in the Bible and explain some of them starting on Tuesday night to show you that this also applies to America today. In America, had begun Lamentation in 2019, had entered into the book of Lamentation. And as you go by the chapter of Lamentation, there you'll see the vaccine, you'll see the virus. I had shared some of that in the past. And you see the suffering of the people in Babylon. The persecution. You see, people don't understand that the idol, the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar made, that he said that whosoever don't bow and worship his idol will be killed. You know what is that? Persecution. That's what that is. That same image, that same action, law, if you want to call it, Shiite law is coming to America in the days to come. That same persecution that you're going to have to forsake God, they're going to say. Why do you think they're getting all these alien ships ready appear soon in the air over America and tell you that they've been communicating with these beings and that they have the answer for us. But what is the demand that one of these ships, aliens people, supposedly, will have for America and the world? Go and take out all the Bible from your houses and burn them. And talk about against the Bible, because they're demon, they're devils. Okay? Paul said to the churches that what the Gentile sacrifice is sacrifice to the devil. What is that sacrifice? I don't want to go into details about the sacrifice, because I already had on the Lord Tower. Baby are being sacrificed in New York through abortion, through these fallen ones. See, abortion was not taken out of New York because there was not enough prayer in America for God to enter being. If America were everyone in America got on their knees and cry out to God and repent, there will be no abortion in America. God will judge the people that are listening to the fallen angel that brought abortion back to New York, and God would have judged them. They all would have been dead or repented. And there would have been no abortion. The law in the land will be that no abortion will be allowed. Why are they pushing the issue in every state to have abortion? Because the fallen angel are telling our government and the people that are communicating with them, you need to get abortion back into your law, every single state. And if you do this, we give you what you want. And my brother and sister, our leaders are listening to fallen angels, fallen demons, and are doing what they're saying. And they're pushing lawyers into the Supreme Court, into the court, to try to get it in every state. My brother and sister. But God has a solution to this problem. There's a few of us praying for these nations, and God is listening to a prayer. And God has a plan. And his plan is, I will make Washington, D.C. no more. I will establish government in every state. There will be governor in any state, every state. They will have to either repent and follow after the Bible. And if they do not follow after his word, they will be removed. They will be eliminated. And someone else will be put in their place. God, in the days to come, will be seen radical. By radical Islam. But America is of God. God will claim this land back. God will claim through a few still praying and repent. Before the great tribulation begin, God's going to deal harsh with America. This eastern tsunami destroying the eastern part of America. This earthquake destroying California. Earthquake destroying Chicago. Earthquake destroying even Minnesota and destroying so many parts. The Lord showed me in an angry, angry stage that from California to Maine, he's going to shake this land. City after city are going to be destroyed by him. It doesn't mean that everybody's going to be destroyed. Millions will perish. But those that will remain will have to humble themselves or perish. My brother and sister, 6 million people he took out of Egypt. According to a rabbi, 350 made it into the promised land, or 250,000 made it into the promised land. Not even 500,000 out of the 6 made it into the promised land. God will not be mocked. Whatever men sow, so he will reap. He told them to Moses to repent, to keep the law of the book, my brothers and sisters. And they, when God spoke to them through Moses, they all said amen. They compromised with God. They made an agreement that they would. They said yes, but they did not keep the word. They each wanted to do their own thing. They all thought that freedom of speech is freedom against Moses and God. And that's not what freedom of speech is. That's not what freedom of religion is. that you can worship any other God except our God. And even our God. No. Freedom of religion is to worship the only God, the true God, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father. That's the freedom of religion there is in our Constitution. But they wanted to worship the cow, my brothers and sisters. They wanted to worship other gods, supposedly also, as they also worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God said he will not share his glory, my brothers and sisters. And what happened? He opened up the earth, and the earth swallowed all those people, my brothers and sisters. It was judgment after judgment for them to repent this attitude of freedom of religion, this attitude of freedom of speech that they have twisted. Freedom of speech is God giving you the freedom to speak his word. And freedom of religion is the freedom for you to worship God and no other God beside him. My brother and sister, that's the freedom that God gave this nation and the world. And they've been turning that into I can worship any God or I can say whatever I feel like it. Wrong, wrong. And the judgment that the Lord showed me yesterday morning, that he showed me a month after it passed, is about to become history in this country. Hallelujah. Shalom, Brother Miguel. I said, Lord, if I need to come on the Lord's hour and apologize for saying that this judgment was going to happen in 2024, Lord, I will do so. I will do so, Lord. I will repent. I will say, I'm sorry. Then the Lord took me and showed me the judgment that about to happen. I had no problem saying I'm sorry. I had no problem saying I was wrong. No, the Lord knows my heart, my brother and sister. He knows that I had no problem saying I'm sorry. And the Lord showed me that the judgment is closer than what we think. And I don't know what we've been thinking, my brother and sister. All this freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom, people are confusing it and are living as they feel like it. The children of Israel tried to tell Moses about their freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and God destroyed them. Because that's not the freedom. That is perverting God's commandment, perverting his commandment, twisting his law, which he said he would not allow. And that's what they were doing, and that's what this generation is doing. And it's going to cost them their lives. When Jesus took me to hell a few days ago, he wanted to show me the people that I ministered to that mocked him, that rejected him, that no good came to them, my brothers and sisters. And when he took me there and showed me them there, oh, my Lord, oh, my God, my brothers and sisters, terrible. The Bible says, for God had sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him, it is not condemned. But he that believeth not, oh, I was preaching this in the street, our north. These are the verses I was preaching for so many years. That's why I remember them. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I kept thinking about this verse for years. What does that mean? No one had explained this to me. He's condemned already, Jesus said. And I asked people, I asked brothers, I asked a lot of people with a lot of wisdom in the word, can you explain to me what does it mean when the Bible says he is condemned already? But he that believeth not is condemned already. And look, the Lord took me down to hell and showed me all these people that I ministered to that they rejected the word in hell, living the worst time of their lives. there forever. My brother and sister, I saw hundreds of them, and there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands, as far as I could see, of them condemned already. My brother, that made this verse so clear to me, because for years, over 30 plus years, wanting to know, what does this mean? What does this mean? Because see, I'm sharing the word with them. A few will receive it, but these other people will not. Why can this person not receive the Lord? Do not want to hear the word. It's rejecting it. And when I was there in hell and I saw them, the same people that I ministered to on the earth, that I spoke to them on the street in person, who rejected the word I was sharing with them from God. I was being led by the Lord to speak with them, and they rejected the word. And now they're in hell, punishment of hell, being tormented by demon every day. My brothers and sisters, it is terrible, the outcome. It is not the will of God that anyone will perish. It's very clear. But this is the way they have chosen. He that believes in him is not condemned. See, some people believe they went to heaven. I saw many in heaven that I preached to. But he that believes not is condemned already. That word already was been in my mind for years. Already. Because to me, already is something that has been done before. Person says to me, I was ministering to this guy that I saw in hell on the earth one time. And he rejected. He didn't want to hear it. Someone says to me, why you bother with him? We the church, we already tried ministering to him. He doesn't want to give his life to God. You know, he doesn't want to. And many other people have received the Lord, but not him. I saw him in hell. Oh, my brother and sister. He's going to be there forever. He that believes not in him is not condemned. But he that believes not is already condemned, because he had not believed in the only begotten Son of God. I was preaching Jesus to him. And to them, they rejected it. And look what they find themselves. Now, over 100 of them, myself. My number could have been over 300. Because they were spread all over. And they can look at you and recognize you. I didn't walk exactly to where they were, because one thing I don't like is they ask you for help. Help me, Elvie. Help me. Please help me. And what can you do for them? I tell the people, what can you do for these people? I can't bring them water. I cannot bring them a pizza. I cannot do anything for them. Nothing. I'm not going to get on my knees and pray until the kingdom come for them to be saved, because they're not going to be saved. They're already condemned. But they're asking you, like one of them, my friend Elvie, remember me? Wow. It's hard. It's difficult. But that's how, yeah, that's why the Lord, when he takes me out, he ministered to me. At one time, right from the moment he was taking me out of the place, his power came all over me, his ministering power, the comforting of the Lord, the Holy Spirit in my life, very strong, very powerful, all over, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I felt him taking all that pain away from me. It was too painful for me, too painful to see people there. You don't want anyone to end up there. You don't want anyone. And it doesn't matter how much you hate a person. An example. You don't want anyone to end up in that place. I could not breathe the air. I could not. Oh, my Lord. I was so thirsty, because how dry it is. It was unbearable. Unbearable. Is by the power of God that I was alive, my brother. And these people feel that all the time, the unbearableness plus the demon tormenting them. My brother, remember the question I asked, why is it the demon are tormenting people in hell when they're already there in the torment of hell? And the Lord answered me that question. I saw when the demon had left the people. And this guy, perverse guy, was thinking about the victim on the earth that he abused there. And he was having this freedom to do that because the demon was not tormenting him for what he did. My brother and sister, and that answered my question. They're being tormented because they deserve the evil that they done to other people that they haven't repented for. And hell is not a vacation. Hell is not a five-star hotel, not even one. Okay? It's a place of torment for what they have done on the earth that they did not repent for. And so the demons are always tormenting and reminding them in their memory of what they've done. And the fire, the everything is unbearable. But that's what they need to be because they did not repent when Christ was offered to them. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, talking about Jesus, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. You know, everyone, though, Jesus said, are going to give an answer for what they have done. But these people, okay, have the opportunity to repent. Light came in the world. Jesus came, was born a marriage, raised here, gave his life on the cross. And these people, who has not heard about Jesus on this earth? Most everyone. And these people heard about this light, which is Jesus Christ, that had come into the world, born. But they love darkness rather than light. Darkness means sin, evil. They learn evil, all that the devil offers here, darkness and evil. Why? Their deed is everything that they love to do that is evil. There are people that love to abuse other people. There are people that love to steal. There are people that love to kill. There are people that love things, my brother and sister, that is unbearable to some other people, what these other people love. Even given the opportunity to repent, they will not take it. They will not. They will reject it. So hell is the place for them. Hell is the place that God made for Satan and its demon, not for men. But now men are joining them in that place, a tormenting hell, my brother and sister. It's terrible. Not the will of God that anyone will perish. But since they don't want to receive the Lord, verse 20, for everyone that does evil hate the light, neither come to the light, and sorry, your Lord, no, none of that, lest his deeds to be reproved, repent, be reproved. And this is what with God. God is always reproving us for things that he knows is not pleasing to him. The things we watch, the things we hear, the things we say, the place we go. God is always, no, my daughter. No, my son. No, don't go there. Don't say that. Be careful. He's always rebuking us, disciplining us, working on our lives. Some of us can hear him. Some other people cannot. But even if you cannot hear him, that nodding, that yellow light, some people say, that yellow reminder of don't say that, don't think that, don't do that, my brother and sister, cannot be ignored because that's the Lord doing so to us in dreams. A lot of people, no, I want God to say this to me face to face. All the people say, you're not holy enough for God to speak to you face to face. If God the Father appeared to you face to face, he may kill you. Your skin will melt, especially if you're not ready. If you're not under the blood of the Lord and repenting, he appears to you, your flesh will melt. So you're not ready. So think about it. He's so holy and righteous. He's pure fire. Pure fire. He appears in front of you, you're melting. So he's going to speak to you. Your water will be going down the drain. He turns you into water, nothing. My brother and sister, he's holy, holy, holy three times. my Lord, my God. One day, a few years ago, I was in my room. The Lord used sometimes comes to my room. Welcome to come. But I felt Father was coming by my house. I felt it. And so people, how do you know which Father? The intense fire out of his presence is unique. And when you have felt that, when you have felt that in heaven, for example, you identify with Father. And I felt that he was close to my house. I felt the intense heat out of his presence. It's like a strong anointing, but a million times over, that will melt your flesh. And when this an experience like this happened, I began to repent, Lord, I'm so sorry for my sin, but I also covered myself with the blood of the Lord. Lord, cover it with your blood. I always cry out to Jesus, because he's the intercessor before Father and I. In heaven, I tried crying out to Jesus when Father was coming one time. The mountain was melting as he was coming. Oh, my Lord. When Jesus says, fear, do not fear him that can cure your body, but fear him that can destroy your body and spirit in hell. That's Father. He had one word out of him, person find himself in hell immediately, less than a second. I said, you're going to throw someone there. No chance. No, we need to repent. And he was coming. He was about 50 feet away from me, or 100, let's say. And I felt my body melting. Everything in me melting. I didn't know what was going to be left of me. But everything in me as he was coming was melting. He was speaking to me. His eyes were pure fire, lightning, power, fire. So strong, I could not even close my eyes. And he was saying, he says, my enemy. Can you imagine like a 10,000 watt speaker, someone speaking through them? His voice is so strong that shakes the earth. And when he says, my enemy will fall. Oh, my Lord. I don't know if any of you heard an archangel speak. They're very powerful and loud. Father God's voice was like 10,000 dead. Oh, my Lord. He says, my enemy will fall. I will make sure they will. They will not can stand in his presence. My brother and sister. God's judgment is about to come on the earth. And the Lord showed me. A month after it happens, the tsunami water comes out a month after, not before. Most of our city was underwater. Charlotte, Raleigh, Atlanta, Orlando, Miami, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, part of Boston. All these, Washington, D.C., will have no chance. Completely the White House underwater. Over 100 foot of water. None there will escape. I hope this doesn't happen before the election, but it may be. Some people say, in the dream, they see no election. They don't know why or how. I have an idea. I can say I know because I don't know. I just don't know. But I keep hearing more about people having dreams of no election. And not being able to explain it. No one who has had dreamed that there's no election can explain why there is no election. I just played you an audio before about this woman saying the possibility of no election. But let me go ahead and play Dr. Bruce Reese, who speak about most of these things. Listen.
Some of you have been struggling, and God is challenging you to get your eyes off of yourself and on the Savior. He said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because you trust in him. And there is such a need today for God's peace in our hearts. And that peace comes to us as we realize all that our Savior has done in our behalf.
Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come.
Greetings in the exalted, perfect, most sublime name, both in heaven and in earth. It is the exalted name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. And welcome to another End Times for the Believers Bible Prophecy Update. Before I share part one of today's Bible prophecy update, I just want to speak for a couple of moments to the Word of God itself. And those of you who are thirsting and hungering for the anointed Word of God, that Word that is in season, I believe that the Lord has given me a Word to share with each of you today. And might I add that that which we share is immersed with prayer. We earnestly seek the face of God that each program we might deliver a word that will encourage and build up and strengthen as well as magnify the Lord. And so if you are able, stay with us to the end, because in part two, we will be sharing that word in season. And I believe it is a word that if it is engrafted to our souls, and it must be, that it has the potential of changing our perspective from, in terms of our future destiny, from one of doubt and anxiousness and worry to a place of blessed assurance and joyful anticipation. So please stick around after we share the prophetic in part two. Join with me for a moment in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, the comfort of the scriptures. How often we receive that comfort, Lord, when we find ourselves facing challenging circumstances, and it seems like those challenges are increasing daily and becoming more and more intense, that we have your word that soothes our hearts. And Lord, that word, I pray I will have the grace to deliver it today. It is a word that I believe is from you. And Lord, I pray for those that will spend their valuable, precious moments in time listening to today's Bible prophecy update. And Lord, that they will not be disappointed, that they'll stick around and they will hear that which I believe is from your heart to your people. Lord, thank you for each one. And I pray that you will bless them now in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. And amen. As I have prepared this week's Bible prophecy update, there were a couple of subjects that I found myself, my heart stirred toward. One of them is what is happening in the United States of America and how it relates, I believe, to Babylon and the judgments that God gives us in Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51 that shall fall upon the future Babylon. And there is so much that is happening, that is developing in that prophetic arena or scenario. But before I touch on the subject of America and Babylon in relationship to all the events that are taking place right now, I first want to begin where everything began. And that place where everything began is the land of promise. And there is so much going on right this very day in the land of promise. Again, one is hard-pressed to focus on the specific prophecies that are taking place in the world today. They're coming from all directions. But Israel, as a cup of trembling, just seems to stand out so tall and so substantial in relationship to the prophetic of God's word, especially recently in light of the discovery of six Israelis found murdered execution style in the infamous tunnels. And this nation is at a boiling point. It's reported that just very recently over 700,000 people actually took to the streets in protest, and they really don't even know what they're protesting. To protest is not going to end the war, but this nation is just so broken. Not too long ago, it seemed like they had the whole world at their feet, and they were prospering as a nation, and now, just a short while later, they are being torn asunder. And I believe that the harvest is ripe for the Antichrist, and that soon they will enter into what the Bible tells us in Isaiah will be a covenant of death. Isaiah 28 and verse 15, because you have said, and speaking here about the last days, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. And moving down to the 18th verse of Isaiah 28, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. This nation right now is crying out for a Savior, for Messiah, and for a peace treaty. And the Bible tells us they are going to receive both. But the Messiah will be a fraud, the false Messiah. And the peace treaty, which we see written in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, is a fulfillment of Daniel's 70th week. And in terms of that peace treaty, Daniel 9, verse 27, and he shall confirm, that is the Antichrist, the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And so we see many inferences here in terms of this covenant that the Antichrist is going to spearhead with the many in the world in behalf of Israel. Of course, it presupposes that the temple is already in existence, and that there will be in the midst of that 70 weeks, in the 3.5 years, the abomination of desolation. And we understand that the 70th week of Daniel is in essence divided into two segments. The first 3.5 years is prophetically referred to as Jacob's sorrows. And then the second 3.5 years is referenced as Jacob's troubles. The groundwork necessary to bring this prophecy to fruition, it is already laid out. The infamous 7-year treaty is about to happen, and I personally believe it could very much happen this year. C.J. Lovick, I have referenced the brother in a couple occasions now, who is the author of the critically acclaimed Bereshit Passover Prophecy, and I've included the link in the description box. It's something that just really is an amazing discovery through, I'm sure, much prayer and astute and analysis. And in there, he notices and observes that the first word in Genesis basically contains the whole gospel. And he goes on to recognize what 2 Peter 3:8 says is a principle to establish the prophetic timeline. And again, 2 Peter, we read there, verse 8 of chapter 3, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day." He holds adamantly that the Day of Atonement, this coming October 11th and 12th, will be the beginning of Daniel's 70th week. And he doesn't come to that conclusion flippantly. It is an amazing analysis that's is so compelling that I don't hear anyone trying to make issue with him. The year 2024 is the beginning of Daniel's 70th week. And again, his analysis, as I see it, is almost unrefutable, is unrefutable from my perspective. And if he is correct, and I understand that for some that if is a big, big, big if, but if he is correct, and furthermore, if the sound doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture is correct, and I'm convinced that that is the only place for the rapture is before the tribulation. And if thirdly, if some individuals who, namely some Messianic Jews, who hold again firmly to the fact that the Moed, the schedule of God for the rapture, is actually spoken of and referred to in the Feast of Trumpets. Well, the Feast of Trumpets comes in October 2nd, and if the rapture is going to be taking place during that time, wow. This is an amazing time to be alive and to be a Christian. In a moment, the Bible tells us, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I don't know about you, though I think I may, but I know I have found myself just reflecting upon what is going to happen very, very, very soon. There is going to be a metaphysical change in our anatomy to where we will have a body that is likened unto the literal transfigured body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it appears that it could be happening very, very, very soon. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 puts it this way, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." I know that the church has been at this place where the prophetic time clock seemed to be pointing to a time, even a specific day for the rapture. We've been at those crossroads several different times in the past half century. I understand that. And there has been undoubtedly much disappointment. But I have never, ever In all my almost 50 years, half of a century, earnestly waiting for the rapture to take place, I have never seen everything in place as it is right now, including the sabbatical seven-year calendar, and all I can say is in full view of consideration of all these things, this is that time where the Lord Jesus said, look up. It is time to look up. Again, I understand the history that the church has experienced and some disappointments, and some are reluctant to even get excited about the fact that we may very well be going home. But you need to get excited, because we are going home, and I do believe we are going home soon, very soon. The Middle East is not the only place on fire. And we know that the world, Jesus said, the nations would also be experiencing many different national and sociological events that are happening before our very own eyes, and that there should be signs in the last days. Jesus said in Luke 21 and 25 that there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And we know that the Revelation 12 sign was fulfilled in September 23rd, 2017, and also in the moon, and the four blood moons, the tetrad, the four Jewish holidays where there were blood moons, that was fulfilled in 2014 and 2015. And then we also are told in that same verse that upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the wave roaring. Look what is going on in the world today. There is a global totalitarian takedown upon freedom of speech. The Brazil government right now is fining those who choose to use the X application for their communication $8,874 per day for simply using the app. And the French government has just recently arrested the CEO of Telegram, Pavel Durov. Actually, on this just past Saturday night, they arrested him, and for the reason that he has a platform that allows people to exercise their right for freedom of speech. Again, there is a global crackdown because people are beginning to realize what is happening, and that there is a elite, a corporate elite, a global elite that is working towards their agenda, which they come right out now and publicly state it. Their agenda is to form a one world government, and they don't care who stands in their way. There is talk even right now of arresting Elon Musk for his platform, X, formerly known as Twitter. And even our presidential candidate and vice president have previously supported various different censorship concepts. The Bible line is, the bottom line is, we are witnessing today some major events that are telling us Jesus is coming very, very soon. We see our nation, the United States of America, a nation once under God, a nation given over to some of the most unimaginable crimes against humanity today, and in particular, unimaginable crimes against its own citizenship, using, as described in Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51, sorceries and incorporating pharmakeia, where we get our word from pharmacy, and all that entails and all that we are seeing today. The United States itself is standing in defiance as a major roadblock against global dominance, with, again, their already agenda to depopulate. And there is so much that has recently come to surface on that subject and the efforts to just eliminate a large portion of the population. Now, due to the lengthiness of the message that I have prepared regarding Babylon and the United States of America and what we are seeing happening today, I'm going to encourage you to join with us in our next Bible prophecy update as we discuss that. But now what I want to do is I want to go into the second portion of our message, which is the Word of God. I will mention this in our upcoming Bible prophecy update, where, again, we look at America as modern-day Babylon. We'll be discussing the internal divine judgments that our nation is experiencing right now and has to do much with the fact that it stands as the only final obstacle for a global dominance of a small group of people. And then we're also going to look at the external element of the divine judgments, which we can begin to see the saber rattling that's going on with regard to Russia and the United States and including China and some other nations. So this is a major time in church history. And I don't think we're going to be around much longer. I know I'm repeating myself, but I'm hard-pressed to see the church going past this year, 2024. But having said that, I believe in light of these realities that our Father, our Abba, is desiring and happy to share with us a word in season, a word that will help us to maneuver through the turbulence of today's life's circumstances. The things that are happening in the world today, they are most troubling. And even though we have such a glorious hope, these things deeply trouble our hearts. And it, again, as I mentioned in our last message, it is not difficult for me to believe that our God, our Heavenly Father, and His Son, the Lord Jesus, and through the Holy Spirit, desires to keep a word in our hearts, a word that brings fire, that produces a sense of hope and even joyful anticipation. Because God knows that the current circumstances, this world that is literally turned upside down, that we need something to keep us stable. And I believe that word can be found in Galatians. Galatians, I'm reading now from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I have mentioned many times that I find great edification in listening to some of the very credible testimonies of those who have experienced near-death experiences and their description of heaven itself, and even more meaningful is the sense of the love of God that they always try to express, talking about it as liquid love and a sense that we are home. Friends, we are sons of the living God, And God has provided for us an inheritance. We are heirs of God through Christ. And that ought to be a word of comfort to us also. And the word of truth is really Hebrews 10 verse 37 puts it this way. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. That word while, I looked it up in the Strong's Concordance. In Strong's, it's G3397, is micron. And micron is a small space of time or degree. And it's a degree that, it's a word that we get our micron from. And a micron is 1/1,000,000th of a meter. And what do you think 1/1,000,000th of a meter is? It is tiny. And we are very, very close. And if they were close then, how close are we now to being changed and to be witnessing the glory of our Savior soon, meeting him in the clouds? And so what is that word that God would give to us today? Well, in light of all the different troubles that are happening before our eyes, I think this is a no-brainer. Jesus speaking, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also. It is here where the Lord speaks to us directly as we weigh out the many disturbing circumstances that if we're not careful, can just go into our souls and cause us to be so troubled. And so he says, don't let your heart be troubled. And the fact is, there are many Christians today who love the Lord and realize, in light of all the different Bible prophecies that are happening right now, and clearly the signs pointing to the nearness of the rapture, that some are struggling inwardly and are beginning to wonder, having thoughts like, am I even ready? Am I going to be left behind? And the enemy begins to really make an assault upon God's people, the accuser of the brethren, trying to just lay a heavy on your heart and your mind, accusations, and getting us to become introverted, thinking that maybe we need to look into ourselves, and hopefully we'll find some measure of virtue that will give us a sense of confidence. And when we start doing that, we are in danger. When we start going introvertly, looking for something in us that tells us, yes, we are ready and we are not going to be left behind. 1 John 4 and verse 17 puts it this way. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness or assurance in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now the question is, as he is, how is he? He is perfect. And if he is perfect, and we are in him, then God sees us perfect. There is therefore no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Now I've entitled this section, part two of the Word of God, as a call to liberty. Again, I refer you to Galatians the epistle of Galatians. And I am looking at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, where the Apostle Paul makes a startling statement. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? The question is, what was happening among this body of believers that caused the Apostle Paul to make such a startling characterization or description that they were being bewitched? What was happening is they were contemplating being circumcised. And the Apostle Paul goes on and he tells them that if you are circumcised, Christ has become of none effect. Whosoever you are that is seeking to be justified by the law. For Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16 says the following, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So again, the accuser of the brethren, trying to get our minds off of this most foundational doctrine, which doctrine we refer to theologically as the doctrine of justification by faith. And here are these bodies, this body of believers, having run well, having brought forth much fruit, that now they thought they needed to do something. They had to add something to their credit. And that something was to obey a segment of the law. And the adversary, the accuser of the brethren, was beginning to get a foothold upon them. And so the Apostle Paul speaks to them almost startled over the fact, knowing that the message was clearly communicated that they were saved by faith and faith alone. Ephesians, where the Apostle Paul states, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, as we see the day approaching, as we see it becoming so clear that soon the trump of God is going to sound, the voice of God is going to sound as a trumpet saying, come up hither. And because we see that and we know it, and we may not feel saved today, maybe we felt saved yesterday, but today we don't feel saved. Or maybe we're not getting victory in all the different areas of our life before God, and so we begin to question whether or not we are in the faith. In these last days, being so close, we must recognize the adversary of our soul as a roaring lion is moving about looking for whom he may devour. And this doctrine of the justification by faith and faith alone is an imperative doctrine if we are going to have some stability and we're going to be able to look forward to the fact that the rapture is going to happen soon. And yes, we are ready, and we are ready because Christ made us perfect. We are in the Beloved. He who knew no sin became sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. We have an inheritance, and the enemy does not like that very reality. And he'll do whatever he can to get us to doubt whether or not we are ready. If you believe and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, genuinely so. If you have acknowledged him as your Lord and you have put your faith in his finished work, then the Bible says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the apostle concludes his message to those who were thinking that they were now going to be justified in the sight of God by obeying the law. He closes with the following words. I want to read them, and beginning in chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law. Now listen to what he says. You are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness of faith. I want to read that again. We who through the Spirit, talking to those especially in today's generation, wait for the hope of righteousness which is by faith. We wait for the hope for the redemption of our body based upon what our Savior has done in our behalf. Verse 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Some of you have been struggling, and God is challenging you to get your eyes off of yourself and on the Savior. He said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because you trust in him. And there is such a need today for God's peace in our hearts. And that peace comes to us as we realize all that our Savior has done in our behalf. Now, I know that there are some of you who are realizing we are living in the last of the last days, but you're not feeling like you're ready because you're not. You have not surrendered your life and your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have not done the one thing that the Bible requires, and that is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ according to the Scripture's definition of believing. You know, again, we could mentally agree. James tells us that even the devil believes and trembles, but he's not saved. The Bible talks to us about a faith that is our trust in the Lord. We're not trusting in our own selves. We're not trusting that we're going to be on the mountaintop when the trumpet sounds. We're trusting in the fact that he has already finished the work. But if you haven't opened your heart to Jesus, I am going to invite you to do so in just a moment and seek God and pray that he will forgive you of your sins. And so if you'll join with me and really mean from your heart the words that you're about to say, then the Bible tells us you will be ready. And so if you'll just open your heart and say these words with me and mean them. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this day in the name of Jesus, knowing that I am a sinner and that I need forgiveness, and I want you to know that I am so sorry for the life of sin I have lived. But today, Lord, I am opening my heart and inviting you into my life to please come into my life by your Spirit. and to clean my sinfulness with your own blood. I believe that you died for my sins, and that according to the scripture, you were raised from the grave for my justification. And so, Lord, according to your word, I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died for my sins, and that he rose from the grave for my justification. And because your word tells me to believe and to acknowledge my sinfulness and to open my heart to you, and because I have just done that now, I believe I am saved, born again, and I thank you for this precious day. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want to thank you for the opportunity that you give us each week to come into your home and to share the gospel. You may know and note that we try to put a good emphasis upon the devotional, the spiritual. And if ever there was a time when the watchers, when those who are watching the prophecies take place, if ever there was a time to encourage God's people to get their eyes off of the world and on Jesus, it's today. Please pray for our ministry. And if you can share, please do. We get no support whatsoever from the platforms, and we've talked about that many different times. The only traction we will get is by you sharing our message here in YouTube or in Facebook. But now we come to that special moment when my daughter Danielle and I, who I might add, today in recording this message is her birthday, and she is a sweetheart, and I'll not tell you how old she is, but we are going to minister a special song, and I know that she is going to have a few words to say before we minister this song together as father and daughter. So may you be blessed as you listen. In Jesus' name.
We all face seasons of life when the music fades and when all that we hoped and dreamed in is stripped away. The question is, when we encounter these seasons of darkness and of dryness, when it feels like God is nowhere to be found, can we suffer well? Can we come back to the heart of worship and remember what it's all about? It's not about us. It's all about Him. When we think of worship, we tend to think of music. But you might be surprised to know that the very first time worship is ever mentioned in the Bible is all the way back in Genesis 22. And it has nothing to do with music, but it has everything to do with surrender. It's the account of when Abraham is asked by God to surrender Isaac on the altar, to lay him down and trust God for the outcome. Abraham gathers everything together, and he says to those that are with him, he and the boy Isaac are going to go up the mount and worship God. So we see that worship is defined in our surrender, in our trust, and in our obedience, in trusting that God is who He says He is. You know, when I ended up experiencing a brain injury back in 2019 and struggled for years to recover from it, It was in the beginning of this trial, this dark, dark season, that the Lord told me he was going to be teaching me how to trust and obey. And I wanted to extract everything I could out of that valley season, because if I was going to suffer, I wanted to suffer well. So I began to read about how to trust. I struggled walking as a believer for many years, yet I quickly came to realize that I had very little trust in God. I had been relying on my own strength for the better part of my life. But in this season that I was in, my strength failed me very quickly, and I was left with some hard lessons that had to be learned in the valley. I quickly learned that trust wasn't something that could be sped up. It was something that had to be cultivated, and that trust was the product of love. And one of the symptoms that tormented me during my recovery was fear. I began to read the verse, "Perfect love casts out all fear, for fear hath torment. Those that have fear have not been perfected in love." And so I read this verse over and over and over again because I wanted to understand the mystery of it. This perfect love, it would cast out my fear, and I would be able to fully trust God and to walk in the fullness that he had for me, that the Bible was telling me I could have. And so I began to think, perfect love is God. I'm a Christian. I have Christ in me. Why is he who is perfect love not casting out this fear? I couldn't understand that it had everything to do with my surrender. I was still holding on to my own understanding, and I was trying to fight through things in the way that I always knew how. And, you know, it said that for the believer, the hardest theological doctrine for every believer to grasp and understand is this one thing: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Why is that? I believe it's because as we go through life, we get hurt by people that we love and the people that love us. And those experiences can begin to skew our view of God's love toward us. And so God has a lot of work to do in our lives to unravel and undo the hurts in order that he can fully pour himself into us. But when he does, man, are we free? We are free. And there is nothing that the enemy can do to convince us otherwise, because there is nothing that he can threaten to take from us that we've already laid down and surrendered at the feet of Jesus, trusting fully in God's plan and his provision for our lives. So learning to surrender comes down to being able to trust. And being able to trust comes down to believing in God's love for us. His love is perfect. It is abounding, and it will never fail. And there is really no fast track to this going from our head to our heart. It takes time. And the only way that it can be accomplished is by us spending time at the feet of Jesus, letting him pour himself into our hearts and proving himself to us. He will. He is patient, and he is good, and he is kind, and he will walk with us and show us how much he loves us. And when he does, we will begin to love Him and to be able to love others. You know, we are living in a time when this world is growing cold. People are hard to love because of the coldness of people's hearts. But the Lord says, those that abide in me and walk closely with me, my love will work through them. And so I have a lot of things I wanted to share before this song with you, but I believe that the one thing that the Lord impressed on me more than anything to share is that if we are to finish well in this season that we are in, about to be caught up, the greatest commission that we have is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, and all our strength, and to love others. But we are in a dilemma because love is growing cold. The only solution to that is to be at the feet of Jesus, to come back to the heart of worship, to come back to the heart of surrender, open hands and open heart, allowing the Lord to take what He needs out that doesn't belong in our lives, give us what we need to accomplish what we need to accomplish, and to fully trust in His goodness and allow His love to come in to prove His love toward us, that we can have a heart that's not full of bitterness or resentment or anger or unforgiveness, because He washes that out of us. And then we have the ability to finish the commandment, the commission of love in this hour. Now is the time for us to come back to the heart of worship, the heart of true surrender, where we don't make it about us, because it's all about Him. We love Him because He first loved us. He always desired us. From before time began, He saw us. And God desires our hearts. We complicate the matter. We complicate this life. I know things are complicated, but when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, it's pretty simple. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. If we can believe that, we can move mountains in this world while we await His coming. Just remember, we serve a God who created man to be in a relationship with Him. He would come down in the garden in the cool of the night because He wanted to walk and talk with man. He wants a relationship. He wants our hearts. And it's all about Him. Lord, I'm sorry for what I made it. I'm sorry that I tried to make Your love more complicated, the yoke more heavy, when You say that it is light. I'm sorry for what I made it. Help me to surrender. Help me to come back to the heart of worship, to remember my first love and what it's all about. God has been nothing but good to us, nothing but faithful and loving to us. What is it going to take for us to believe and to fully surrender, to, in this hour, lift up our hands and say, Lord, here I am. I say yes. I say yes to whatever You have for my life. It's not about me. It's all about You. What You did for me, that while I was yet a sinner, You came and died for me, that I can love You because You first loved me. What will it take for us to come back to the heart of worship and give to God what He deserves. Our hearts. All He ever wanted was our heart. May this song bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for the song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the ways and depths. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming. Sorry, Lord, for the things I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. You are so gentle. until we meet again, and it may be very, very soon. Until then, Maranatha, Maranatha, Maranatha.
Ha, 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 ha.